KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
The elections. What's really happening in the trend in our nation today? What's happened with your kids today? Where is their view? Do they have a Christian worldview? These and more. On Encounter, I'm Judy Redlich. My guest is Dr. Jeff Myers. He's president of Summit Ministries. And as an educator and an entrepreneur, where does he feel our nation is going, especially with our next generation? I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks a lot for joining me. Dr. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today.
Judy, I'm glad to be with you.
First of all, let's talk a little bit about Summit Ministries to kind of give a framework of who you are and where you come from.
At summit.org, we are looking for friends who know that we have problems in our country and believe that having a biblical worldview can give us confidence and answers for our time. So our ministry focuses on young adults. We want to support them and equip them to embrace God's truth and to champion a biblical worldview. We're primarily, Judy, working with young adults 16 to 25. What a critical
age. And Christian worldview is maybe not really easily understood by some of our audience because there's so many different definitions for it. Could you define it?
I sure can. I think a lot of people would very reasonably say, what do you mean by Christian worldview? Aren't there different Christian worldviews? After all, I drive down the street and I see the Lutheran church and the Methodist church and the Baptist church and the Pentecostal church. Aren't there different Christian worldviews? What we're talking about with Christian worldview is a pattern of ideas, of beliefs, of convictions and habits that start with a special revelation of God in Scripture, that God is the creator, that we are made in his image, that as his image bearers, we may be fallen, but we are great in the sense that God has given us the responsibility to bring the blessing of the good news of the gospel to the nations of the earth. So lots of people of different denominations, Protestants, Catholics, can all work together to understand that those core principles are true. And as a result, we can have solutions that come from God's word for the problems that we face in our society.
Can you illustrate a Christian worldview example in that method that you just shared?
Sure. Let me give you an example from economics, because this is a big issue these days. People say, oh, well, I think we could have socialism, because isn't socialism just kindness of sharing? Isn't that what it really is? But you see, that is a worldview assumption. Socialism is based on the economic philosophy of Karl Marx, who believed that only the material world exists. There is no God, there's no Jesus, there's no Holy Spirit, no heaven, no hell, only the material world. And if only the material world exists, then there is only so much to go around. And if there's only so much to go around and one person has more, that's because they stole it. So we can steal it back, and that would not be wrong. A biblical view of economics says, no, the material world is not all there is. The mind of God has enabled us to have minds so we can think and innovate and have inspirations and come up with great ideas. And those things can actually grow prosperity in an economy over time, but only if we allow people to be stewards of what they're coming up with rather than trying to collect all the resources in a central authority and distribute them.
And socialism falls right in there because it is really the survival of the fittest, in my opinion.
It is, yes. Just think about it in terms of the American Constitution. Even people who are listening who say, I don't know if I buy into all of this Christian stuff, but they probably respect the Constitution. The United States Constitution in the preamble says that it was put together in part to secure the blessings of liberty. What are those? The just protection of life, liberty, and property, and the common defense, and so forth. That word secure is really important. The founders understood they were not giving rights to people. They were not distributing anything. They were merely securing the rights that God had given to them. In fact, the founders were putting together the Constitution and the Bill of Rights not to protect people from one another, but to protect people from the government. Socialism unravels all of that and says, no, all of the rights are not going to be secured. They are given by the government. we're not going to let people have all of the resources. We're going to collect all of the resources and distribute them based on what we think is correct, based on we who are in charge. So it's an impulse that goes against the grain of everything our founders taught and believed. But nonetheless, especially among young adults, even young Christians today are five times as likely as their older peer Christians to embrace Marxism.
Why is that, Dr. Myers, that they are five times more likely?
First, I think we have a problem of the question of truth. 69% of young adults in the church today say they believe there are no absolute truths. So they do not turn to logic or reason to try to discern what is really real. They start with the assumption that what they feel personally is what is real. So everything else has to be reevaluated based on that. When people in that situation look at it and say, oh, well, so socialists are just people who are saying that we should be kind and share with one another, and that plus we get free health care and free college, you know, what's not to like about it? Because they haven't thought through it from a biblical or even a constitutional standpoint. They just started with, you know, how do I feel about it? I would like to have free college tuition. I think I'm a socialist. And so unfortunately, it doesn't go a lot deeper than that. But at the same time, that's fortunate because in programs like Summit Ministries, two-week training programs, you can bring in a Christian economist or two, and they can answer students' questions, and they turn around very, very quickly.
We're going to come back and talk more about what Summit offers students. But first of all, let's go back to some of the George Barna polls. You mentioned some stats. What are some other things that people need to know that might be very eye-opening concerning this next generation?
I think one key thing people need to know is that young adults are not with us when it comes to having a biblical worldview. But there's not really a lot to be with in that way, because Barna's research and our research that we've done with the Barna Group, with Summit Ministries, has found that only 19% of church-going born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. So imagine 10 people sitting in the pew, pre-COVID, pre-social distancing, 10 people are sitting in the pew, only two of them get it. Only two of them have any idea of what is going on in church and why it's important. The other eight are sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to decide what's true for me, and I think God is a force like Star Wars. And that is literally as deep as a lot of people go. So you can imagine if that's the way we adults are behaving in church, young adults are going to be really confused and doubtful that a biblical worldview has anything to say about what.
Well, so you're talking about statistics in adults. This is not youth 16 to 25 that you just gave that statistic.
No, 19% of adults who are going born-again Christians.
I thought you were talking about youth 16 to 25, yeah. And that is even more shocking.
Now, it's even further down.
Why do you think that people have lost the Christian worldview?
You know, some of it I think is interesting to look at how George Barna processes a lot of these results. And, you know, and he and I talk about this a fair bit, and he said, look, I understand that this is negative and sad. He said, when I come to speak someplace, people hide the razor blades because it's not fun to look at the negative statistics. But here's a positive way to think of it. 90% of pastors say they believe the Bible does speak to today's issues. Okay, so that's good. They actually believe that. But then they're asked, well, which of these issues do you talk about? Only 10% of them ever bring up any of those issues in front of the congregation. Because they're not sure. Does this really relate? I mean, if people expect me to talk about the Bible, they don't expect me to talk about marriage and abortion and things like that. But two-thirds of people in the pews say they want their pastor to talk about today's issues because they want to be able to stand around the water cooler at work and have something intelligent and thoughtful to say, not just Bible thumping, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's got to become real. It's got to sink in. And I think if pastors don't speak out about those issues, they won't correlate them with where they're living now in the world.
Right. You know, a lot of pastors, I can understand. Pastors say, I want my people to vote. I want them to vote their biblical values. But if you address those in the pulpit, how do you do it without being political? And that's where going back to a biblical worldview helps. If you start off with realizing that there is God who is independent of us and his existence is real and can be demonstrated to be logically, the belief in him is a logically valid belief. That's huge. okay, what is God like? And if he's made us in his image, what are we then like? Well, if God made people in his image, then all persons have value, don't they?
Yes.
So somebody who isn't even born yet would have value, even though they haven't even come out of the womb yet. Someone who's an older person who's suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's, and they're just not there in the way they used to be, that person would still have value, wouldn't they?
They would.
They still bear God's image, right? Well, that's something where you can go to work and, you know, somebody says, it doesn't matter what old people think or that or whatever. Yeah, they can euthanize them or whatever. You'd say, you know what? I just really have this strong sense that we're made for something special. We're made for a purpose that's meaningful. And just because someone loses their capacity to think clearly doesn't mean their life no longer has meaning. You see, you could say that at work, and other people would go, I'm not sure I agree with you, but, you know, you got a point. At least you're a kind person. And that's the sort of opening. That's what people are looking for in churches, is to say, yeah, you don't have to tell me politically what to say, but I want to know why we believe what we believe.
Yeah. Why we believe what we believe. That all comes down to really learning the Bible and what God's Word says and relating it to the times then and the times now, doesn't it?
Right. That God's Word is timeless, that what it says is true because it's true about the nature of reality. You can learn about stealing from Scripture. Does the Bible address computer theft? No, it doesn't. But it does say people should have the right to property. They should be responsible to steward the things that they have. Intellectual property is the real thing. It's not just land that is the real thing. Karl Marx was wrong. Okay, the things that we come up with in our minds are real. So therefore, it's wrong to steal the product of somebody else's mind. So you can derive true principles about everything that happens in our world today from those principles that were established and written down as a special revelation from God, the authors of Scripture say, thousands of years ago.
Hey, Dr. Myers, we are running out of time before this break. Will you join me after the break to continue this discussion?
I would love to. If it's helpful, I'm always happy to
you know what?
Have discussions about this.
Let's go for it. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We'll be right back. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. We're back. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Dr. Jeffrey Myers, who's president of Summit Ministries, is my guest. We're talking about the importance of helping all of us learn more of what the Christian worldview is all about. Do we know what to tell our children? And could our worldview have affected what happened in the elections this year? Well, Dr. Myers, we talked a lot about worldview. You gave some illustrations. We are talking about how pastors a lot of times are afraid to speak out about what God's Word really says in the pulpit. How did this all reflect what happened, do you believe, in our last election?
Well, we're still sorting through all of the results from the elections, and so it's hard to know exactly what happened. It does seem on balance that people have almost a completely even split between what we might call conservative or liberal policies and preference for conservative or liberal candidates, and that even places like California tended to go just slight bit more conservative than they had in the past. The way that relate to a biblical worldview, I guess there are probably a couple of ways, but one is people who have a biblical worldview tend to be more traditional in their political viewpoint. They're not going to be as accepting of radical ideologies In fact, we found if you train somebody in a biblical worldview, 83% of them are supportive of capitalism, 91% support conservative social policies, 83% oppose abortion, 83% want government to be small and limited in scope. And I know a lot of my liberal friends say, see, you're just indoctrinating them because you want them to be conservative voters. But the truth is, when somebody has a clear sense of who they are and where they came from historically, they tend to be suspicious of people who say, we should just have a revolution and throw everything out and start over, because they recognize there's incredible value in what we have been given. We need to respect it. We need to pay attention to it. We need to just not immediately abandon it when something new comes forward. So they tend to be certain kinds of voters.
As you think about the election results, what do you see down the road as a result of where our country's vote went?
Judy, if present trends continue, this will be the last election where there will be credible candidates who do not embrace radical social policies who will possibly be elected. This was the last, so to speak.
Why do you think that?
70-some percent of millennials say they embrace socialism. More than two-thirds of them are strongly identified with the Democratic Party rather than the Republican Party. So if these trends continue, and obviously trends don't always continue, but if they do, then 2020 was the last year where leftist liberals will not win a decisive victory.
So are you really saying that we are on the road to socialism and to social, and there's nothing we can do to curb it?
Yes, that is correct. If present trends continue, we are on that road and there is nothing we can do. The question is whether or not we will look back at the trends and see if they have to continue. Is it necessarily the case that every young person must be a socialist who embraces an overwhelming federal government presence in our lives? That is not inevitable. We can train them. The problem is that we're putting our money in the wrong place. Conservatives spend, I'm guessing, about $5 billion this year in the elections to support the undecided voters. And the undecided voters is a very small group. That in this election, it was about 7.5 million people. I'm a conservative. As conservatives, we spent $600 per undecided voter, not to get their vote, but just to try to get it. $600 per one of those voters. Well, for $600, organizations like ministries can train a young person to have a biblical worldview that will help them make good decisions, including voting decisions for the rest of their lives. So your treasure is where your heart is how Jesus put it. And I think we need to seriously consider rethinking what our financial priorities are. I mean, if we want this rising generation to change, we have to be intentional about helping them develop a biblical worldview through organizations like Summit Ministries, Worldview Academy. There are a handful of groups doing this, and we need to get tens of thousands more young people every year trained.
Summit Ministries, give us a little summary.
Summit Ministries programs, the way we will work with young adults is three ways primarily. Number one, through two-week-long in-person training programs. We have this antique hotel in a little hippie town called Manitou Springs, tucked in right at the foot of Pikes Peak in Colorado. Students come there for 2 weeks at a time. They meet with Christian thought leaders who are PhD experts on the big issues of our day from a biblical worldview. They can bring all of their questions. They do not have to agree. They just get the opportunity to listen, to ask questions, and to dialogue about all these different aspects of a biblical worldview. And it's vast. We talk about social issues, economic issues. We talk about legal issues, all of these kinds of things where students have questions today. We also do those programs virtually. And then we have curriculum courses that we're using for homeschool students and students. So all in all, actively train about 40,000 young people a year. And I would invite anybody to be a part of that. You know, anybody in the world could participate in one of our summer virtual programs. Anybody who can travel to one of our locations around the world can participate in the in-person program, which is even better. But I'd love to see every Christian young adult ages 16 to 25 participate in something like this. Now, they might walk away, Judy, and say, oh, I don't agree with everything that they said there. That's okay. We're not looking for that. What we're asking is, do you love God? Do you want to seek him with all of your heart? Do you know how to rightly divide the word of truth? And if you do, then we believe that God's going to reveal that to you, and then you'll know how to make better decisions. You'd be like the people of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do.
How can people learn more about Summit Ministries?
Well, first, I just would love for everybody who's listening to the show, and if you've stuck with us so far, then I know you're a friend. So come to summit.org, and then let's be friends. Let's stay in touch with one another. I know you get all kinds of information, but if you've sensed that this is really important, come there, sign up, tell us what your situation is, what kind of information you want, how often you want to hear from us, and then we'll tailor it to your needs so that you're getting good, solid biblical worldview information. Some of it is on the political issues of our day, but some of it's on movies. You know, you go to the movies and wonder what kind of worldview is being portrayed in film. So we talk about that kind of thing as well. And, of course, when the opportunities come for our programs, we'll let you know when they are, and we will encourage you to get young adults you know signed up.
You know, Jesus struggled with Christian worldview and relating that to people as he lived on earth, and it still continues today. Where do we go? What are three points that we could work toward to change where our world is going today?
Judy, one thing I think everybody who's listening can do is if you're part of a local church, make sure you introduce yourself to your pastor if you haven't already and say, I would love to know how to process some of the tough issues of our day from a biblical worldview. And I know that can be controversial, but I know there are others here who would like to do it. Can we find a way to help do that as a church? And then second thing, Summit can be a resource for you. Summit Ministries, these talks that these world-class experts are giving at the Summit Ministries programs are all recorded and are available for you to show to a Sunday school class or a small group. So as you learn things, as soon as you learn one single thing, then you pass it on to other people. Then you learn one more thing, you pass it on to other people. You get in the habit of making sure that you are working to be informed, stay informed, and then inform other people. And then I think, Judy, and this, I don't say this is the third thing because it's the last resort, but we need to be people who pray and fast and ask God to show us how we can do the kinds of things that will help his kingdom be realized on earth as it is in heaven. You know, our goal isn't just to say, well, we voted, God's in control, I would just walk away. The great heroes of history were never like that, right? Dietrich Bonhoeffer did not do that. Martin Luther King, all of these other people who stood strong for something related to justice, thank God they didn't say, God's in control, I can do nothing, and, you know, walk away. They stuck with it. They persevered. Especially in this time, Judy, it's important that we speak up about the things that we believe.
And overcome the fear. Like I always think, oh, well, I don't know if I know enough to speak up about the issues. But you can say something, and then you could refer people to ministries like summit.org to get more details.
That's right. And even if you don't know what to say, if you think about it, if you were to sit down with coffee with somebody you didn't know what they believed and you wanted to try to find out, what would you do? Well, you would ask questions. When they say something, instead of changing the topic, you would say, tell me more about that. If they say, well, here's what I believe, say, how did you arrive at that conclusion? What do you mean by that? You use the term homophobe. You use the term systemic racism or whatever it happens to be. When you use that term, what is it that you mean? How do you know that is true? It doesn't hurt at all to ask questions to find out a little bit more about what other people believe. And, of course, most people are polite enough that at some point they're going to ask, all right, well, you've asked me a lot of questions. I'd like to know a little more about what you believe. But see, then you've been invited to participate in the conversation in a different and respectful way.
And, you know, Jesus asks so many questions. That's how he got engaged with people, is ask questions. And we can do those things, and we can't be afraid of asking questions. Building relationships is so important, Dr. Myers. And if we don't build relationships and we stay in our own little hole and everybody else stays in their own little hole, how can the Christian worldview ever be enhanced? And, you know, wouldn't it be great if one day, because everybody shared their views and talked about it with others, and shared their Christian views that God just would change the world?
You know, we have a reckoning. We have to decide, do we really believe that the gospel, which means good news, is in fact good news? Or is it bad news? You know, I have a lot of friends who live in large cities that are very, very liberal, and some of them will say, honestly, Jeff, I have never met somebody who believes what you believe. I've never met anyone like that. And my thought is, you probably have met them, but they just have felt too afraid to say anything. And this is correct. 75% of Republicans and 50% of Democrats have said they have opinions that they feel afraid to share. That's not specifically related to Christian worldview, obviously, but, you know, you get the idea. People are afraid to talk about things these days, get fired, or my boss might discriminate against me, or whatever else. We have to learn good, intelligent ways to ask questions and then be able to share alternate viewpoints so that people can see, yes, this is, in fact, good news for everybody everywhere.
Dr. Jeff Myers has been my guest. He's the president of Summit Ministries, and you can go to summit.org. Stay informed, be informed, and inform others. Don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone and share what you believe in. Dr. Myers, thanks so much for joining me for today's edition of Encounter, and thank you all for tuning in too.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.